This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Everyone, and welcome to Cosmos and the City, the Sex and the City podcast. My name is Megan McKeever, and I'll be your host/gal pal for the next hour or so. So for those of you listening for the very first time, we'll be watching through the entire series of Sex and the City, and each week I'll have a brand new guest to join me. So this week we have an amazing guest for you, Nigel J. Lycett, and we'll be watching Season 4, Episode 5, entitled Ghost Town. If you like what you hear and want to show us some love, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook, both at Cosmos and the City, or on Twitter at CATC Podcast. If you haven't done so already, please like, rate, and subscribe. It really allows our podcast to grow. And if you have any other thoughts, opinions, ideas, etc., you can email us at cosmosandthecity@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from all of you. This show is brought to you by Boardwalk Audio, and they've got a lot of other awesome podcasts, so head over to boardwalkaudio.com to check them out. And if you like this show and want to support it, the best way to do so is by shopping. That's right. Just go to boardwalkaudio.com/cosmos, click on the Amazon logo to the left, and start shopping away. We'll also put a link in the show notes. All right. Enjoy the episode. Cheers. All right. Well, welcome to another episode of Cosmos and the City, the Sex and the City podcast. My name is Megan McKeever, the host, and today we are talking about Season 4, Episode 5, entitled Ghost Town. And I have the lovely Nigel Lycett. Nigel J.
Thank you.
Lycett. Sorry, bro. All right. How's it going?
It's going.
Nigel, tell us about yourself. Who are you?
Just get in there existentially straight away. Don't build up whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've only known you for two months now.
That's a great question.
Who am I? Yeah. Who are you? What do you do?
I am an actor.
Great.
Whenever they let me play make-believe, which is occasional at the moment, but working on making it a daily thing. Originally from Ireland, if you can't tell by the brogue, although some people convince themselves and me, they try anyway, that I'm Australian somehow. That's what happens.
Is it just like certain words that sound Australian?
No, people tell me that I look Australian, which always confuses me because I'm like, do I look Aboriginal? And they're like, no, you know, I'm like, I'm just fucking with you. But yeah, I grew up in Dublin, lived there most of my life, moved here when I was like 20, bopped around for a while, did actually live in Australia for a while, which leads people to say, oh, see, I knew I heard it. And I'm like, I don't sound Australian.
Because you were only there for what?
It was like 4 months.
Yeah. I don't think you can pick up an accent in 4 months.
No, and just people just trying to make themselves feel better about their shortcomings. Justification.
Justification of that.
So, yeah, bopped around, lived in New York for like 5 years. So, hit a few of the haunts that we experience in the Sex and the City.
The Hamptons.
Saga. Yeah, I lived in the Hamptons for a good while too. Yeah, I've probably spent like 13 summers out there over the course of my life.
So like Trey, who's in this episode.
Correct.
He's kind of is he like a Hamptons type?
Oh, he is pure. Yeah. They're probably East Hampton.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
I'll throw them in there. It's just different areas. Like Southampton's waspier.
Okay.
East Hampton historically was a little more Jewish, but now it's all mixed in. But it's you know, like, it's crazy. It has to be experienced to be believed. And it's different now than it used to be. When I started going out there, it wasn't as crazy. And, you know, different areas were different. Like Montauk was still a fishing village. And now it's like Miami on the east end of Long Island. It's crazy.
Is there actually a Hampton Jitney?
There is a Hampton Jitney. That's a real thing and a real company.
I want to be on the Hampton Jitney.
No, you do not want to be on the Hampton Jitney. It's not bad, but you want to be on the Ambassador. The Ambassador is the deluxe version.
Interesting.
Top of the line. Get your own seat. You don't have to be elbow to elbow with another human being.
Are there like cocktails on the Ambassador?
I mean, it sounds like that, doesn't it?
But yeah.
No.
No.
No,
but you can bring your own, probably.
I mean, you can do whatever you want. It's only cheating if you get caught.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about this episode.
Let's do that.
All right. We'll do like a quick recap. And whatever conversation comes up, we don't have to necessarily go in order. And then at the end, we'll do some segments. All right, you ready?
Ready. Ready as I'll ever be.
Also, they can't see you doing this Vogue.
No, that was just for you.
Oh, well, thank you.
That was my, what do they call it, interpretive dance version of segments.
Oh, I loved it.
Just
great.
For if anyone that's listening to this, it wasn't actually any good.
It was great. Okay, so it starts out, Miranda's getting coffee and a muffin, and she runs into Steve.
Bum, bum, bum.
What do you think about this interaction?
That was an interesting one, yeah. Steve definitely was in the ascendancy there. He had the upper hand on her.
Yeah, she seemed a little, because she was like, ooh.
Yeah, she was super
I burnt
frazzled.
My mouth.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious that she said, you made me burn my mouth. So automatically it's Steve's fault that she's sipping hot coffee. It's like when you eat hot pizza and you burn the roof of your mouth. It's like.
It's the pizza company's
fault. You just got to wait a minute. Just give it a second.
No.
Just hang the fuck on.
It should be cool by the time it gets to my mouth.
She was already drinking the coffee, and it was Steve's fault that she burned her mouth. So that was hilarious. But yeah, Steve-O then has his new piece of meat in tow.
Jessica. Yeah. Which
allegedly.
Allegedly. Well, we've seen her in like one other episode.
Okay.
So they've been dating, I would say, a couple months.
All right, I like that. You're a detective work. I'm going to say a couple months. A
couple months.
I'm putting it in there.
And
like a literal couple, like two?
Yeah, probably like two.
All right.
It's not too serious.
Not too serious?
Not too.
She's like not wearing like a little frilly leotard?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
All right. So, and also Miranda gets weed, right? So Jessica's like, Steve is opening a bar.
Yes.
That's the big news here.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well done, Steve. Big Steve fan here. Woo, Steve.
Woo, go Steve. I didn't know you were such a big Steve fan.
I like Steve. Steve's the everyman.
You know what? I forgot to ask you, what is your background with Sex and the City?
So my first experience of it was a college girlfriend who was massively into it. Viv, if you're listening. Thanks. No, thanks. So we had a trade-off of I would watch something like that with her and then she would like watch a rugby match with me, which
aww.
Was really, she just had a win-win scenario because she liked rugby too. But that was what we did. And then, you know, I secretly liked watching Sex and the City too, but I could never admit to it.
Oh, you just did.
I wasn't as comfortable with my, you know, masculinity back then.
How old were you?
Let's say like 19, 20.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were watching it when it was
I think it was still going on or something. I don't know. It was still fresh anyway.
It was still fresh.
Still fresh. Yeah. I don't know if it was still going on. And when I actually moved to New York after college, I was still dating this girl. And, you know, like me being a cornball, like I brought her on the Sex and the City tour and the whole
shebang.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, you know, I'm a good kid.
Aww.
Yeah, sometimes.
So you like the show?
Yeah, what's not to like?
Yeah.
It's a fantastic dissection of modern culture and a great insight into like female relationship dynamics, I thought.
Yeah, I don't know how realistic they all are, but
yeah, I mean,
it's
you know,
interesting.
Like, yeah, there's like, you know, a little bit hyperbolic, but.
And it doesn't necessarily hold up to today, but. But I love it.
Yeah, I think the core of it is still there, that it's, you know, things ebb and flow, but if you stick with your buds, you know, you're going to get through whatever life throws at you.
That's true.
Yeah.
They're all soulmates.
All you got is each other.
Yeah. Such a feel-good episode. All right. So, back to the episode
we're talking about.
Ghost Town. Miranda's getting coffee, burned her tongue, Steve's fault.
Gets weed.
Gets weed?
Yeah. You said it earlier. Like,
oh,
as in
yes.
We are.
Yes, sorry. Yeah,
that's what I thought. See, now the roles are reversed. I was like, where is she smoking weed? No.
Yeah, so Jessica's
like,
we would love you to come to the bar's opening.
I love the fact, like, that's her last bit in the episode, too, right? She's like, she's not there at the opening. You don't see her.
Yeah, I don't think so.
She's like, probably there, but.
Yeah.
It's like, there you go, Jess.
That's fucking, it, Jess.
You're a fucking NPC.
But her.
You know what that is, right?
No.
I think I'm correct in this, where NPC is a non-player character. It's the thing that the kids are saying now. So it's like, okay, if you're playing like a video game, and it's like, the example that I heard, which makes sense to me because I was a nerd growing up and like played a ton of like RPGs, like, you know, like on the PC, loading floppy disks, etc.
Interesting. Yeah. We'll talk about more things of that later.
It's the kind of character that's there, like he's like the smith who's like always at the shop when you need to go and get your armor repaired.
Oh,
they're
okay.
Nowhere else, but it's like you just wander in whenever the fucking, like, that's all they do. There's no depth to
them.
Yeah.
I played Zelda.
Yeah, there you go.
So,
perfect, yeah. So people, that's kind of a burn, a sick burn, is that what the kids say?
But her line definitely, like moved the plot along.
Oh, yeah, no, it was relevant, but I just thought it was interesting that, like, that was it. Like, it would have been kind of juicy to have her and Miranda have some sort of awkward interaction there, but it was all puppy dogs and ice cream.
Maybe they just had to edit it out.
Maybe they did. Maybe it didn't work.
Maybe.
You know? Who knows?
It happens.
Anyone's out there, and you know the answer. Good for you.
All right, so Miranda calls Carrie to complain about Jessica.
Sure.
And
is that realistic? Is that something you would do if you were in Miranda's scenario?
Call my friend?
Yeah, and be like, what the fuck?
As an adult, no. when I was in, like, high school, yes.
Yeah, but this particular group has a penchant for drama.
Yes, they love drama, and all they talk about is men, right? So this makes sense. Like, having a male problem, I'm going to call Carrie. So
she's the one, she writes a relationship column, right? Isn't that what she does?
Yeah,
allegedly,
Jessica. Allegedly,
Jessica.
But I love this scene because Miranda's like, Carrie, you know, you should come with me to the bar opening, and she's like, yeah, that's what friends do, and then they talk about what the name of it is.
Scout.
Yeah. And Carrie's like, well, maybe he named it, you know, after you, like, Hobbs Knob, because Miranda's last name is Hobbs.
Okay.
So that's why I didn't think you got that. But yeah, Hobbs Knob.
All right.
And he's like, no, Carrie. He named it Scout after the dog.
Man's best friend.
Yeah. And Scout is a really cute puppy.
Scout's an absolutely adorable
puppy. We never saw him in this episode.
At the very beginning, yeah. He's got the dog with him as well.
Oh. Yeah. He's so cute.
Yeah.
Go back in earlier episodes and see him as a puppy.
Oh,
he's so sweet.
Little pup.
Scout. He's probably dead now, but...
I mean, odds are, that's the reality. It's like watching old movies. You're like, all of these people are dead. Ghosts.
Such a feel good. Yeah, we'll get there. In a ghost town. There it is. Okay, so Carrie said she'll go to the bar opening because that's what friends do.
Sure.
Next scene, four girls at brunch. She's like, I'm not going to this.
Complete fucking 180.
Because?
Flip-flopper.
Why?
Because. A Mr. Aiden Smith, another
Shaw. Aiden Shaw.
Is it Shaw?
Yeah.
It's gonna be Smith.
Nope.
Are you sure?
It's Shaw.
All right, because Aiden is a partner in the bar, and it says so on the invitation.
Yes, a silent partner. So, yeah, she hasn't seen Aiden in.
You're saying like a year?
Well, haven't dated in probably over a year.
Right on.
They did like run into each other like. Maybe a couple
previously.
Months.
So she hasn't like seen him like in 9 months-ish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's been a while.
She wasn't exactly squeaky clean coming out of that relationship, was she?
Right. So it ended. She cheated on Aiden with Big, who was married at the time.
Just scandalous behavior.
Yeah, no good.
What would the neighbors say?
I'm sure they said really bad things about it.
Yeah. Not her finest moment.
So Samantha is still dating lesbian Maria.
Yeah.
And, but Sam's
in
kind
of... Full-on relationship,
which means it's starting to get rocky.
Is that what that means?
So Samantha's not a relationship person.
No, not at this point.
No. So I think Samantha just feels like all they do is like talk about their feelings.
Yeah.
And that's not Samantha.
Interesting inversion, right, of the masculine feminine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She just wants to get that pipe laid down and
go on.
Go about her business.
Okay. So next scene, Samantha wants to get out on the town and takes Maria with her. Sure, and they go to some like fancy bar. And then just all these men like come out of the woodworks.
Oh, yeah.
The guy at the bar, I forget his name. But you know,
he's
all like, I get off at 4.
Yeah.
Like, what? Okay. And then Sean Sullivan, which I kind of like Sean Sullivan.
Sean Sullivan had a little bit of spunk, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of gumption.
Yeah. And a little like nice smile. And it's like, okay, Sean Sullivan.
Sean, tell us things. I'm going a late run with you.
Yeah, late run.
Yeah.
That's right.
Which sowed a seed of discord between the happy, parentheses, or inverted commas. I don't know. What do you guys do?
Parentheses,
is that what you call them? All right, yeah. Mark. I think we just call them quotation marks.
Okay, what?
Well, it's been a while.
No, you're right. They are quotation marks. No, yeah. Parentheses are the...
Yeah, it's like brackets, right?
Yeah.
It's things. Bunny ears.
Bunny ears. So Sean Sullivan says, like, you know, I'll be around later tonight. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could have a late run.
Yeah, she doesn't exactly repel the advance.
No, she doesn't. No. She's like,
it's the opposite.
But then Maria kind of snaps her back into reality. Like, what is this late run?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, never mind.
It doesn't translate.
It's got a booty call. I think Maria would get that.
Yeah, I think she knows. Yeah, I think she was trying to bait
Samantha
there, yeah. She's trying to bait her. And Sam sidestepped like a champ. Played Sam.
All right, so Trey and Charlotte are back together now.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
And they're supposed to go...
The most boring couple in America.
Well, they don't last, so there's something to that. They're supposed to go mattress shopping, which...
They do. But?
Well, first, Charlotte's there by herself, and then Bunny shows up.
Fucking Bunny, man.
Now, have you met a lot of bunnies?
I've met a bunny or two in my time, yeah. I've met more bunny boilers, unfortunately, but I've met a bunny or two.
What's a bunny boiler? What are you talking about? What are these words?
I think it's like Fatal Attraction, or maybe it's Single White Female. I think it's Fatal Attraction when she like boils the bunny. Isn't it Glenn Close?
I don't know.
Boils a pet bunny.
Bunny boilers, oof.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway... Bunny shows up instead of Trey. And she's like, oh, Trey will be coming. But we have to find, you know, a bed with the perfect dust ruffle.
It's all about the dust ruffle, apparently.
Yes.
I'm not even still 100% sure what a dust ruffle is.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I mean, look at me. What, I have a dust ruffle? Like,
you could have a dust ruffle. So a dust ruffle is... Basically,
it's just like a bed skirt, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, but like dust ruffle.
Do you have a bed skirt?
No, I'm a man.
What does that mean?
It means like men don't like get dust ruffles.
I'm sure men have bed skirts.
Yeah. All right.
They're the same thing.
All right. I'm not going to go further down this rabbit hole. See what I did there?
Yeah. Bunny boilers. Okay. So. Trey shows up.
Yeah.
And Bunny's like...
And it just gets weird.
They're like, nice and soft and firm.
Yeah. Bunny lies down, then she gets Trey to lie down, then Charlotte lies down. It's three in the bed. Very Freudian. Just,
yes. It's such a good shot. It's just so funny.
It's phenomenal, yeah. It's a great representation of the scenario. I'm sure that was not lost on them.
I'm sure it wasn't. I mean, I know it was planned, but yeah, that's what I'm just saying.
No, it's fantastic.
It's good. But just like Trey and his, mother.
Yeah, she gets overruled. It's essentially the whole purpose of that little scene.
Yeah, mother knows best.
Yeah, yeah.
And poor Charlotte is just like,
just
why
suppressing all those feelings?
Because she's a wasp.
That's what they do.
All right. Now, Miranda's storyline is kind of dumb to me, but it has to, the reason it's there great. Is just to tie in with the rest of the episode. It's just very flimsy to me.
There's a ghost that never really gets resolved, allegedly, above her.
Yes. So Miranda has a
fucking horrendous ghost. Writing. If you wrote that show and you're listening to this, I think you know how I feel. I'm not even going to say it.
Apparently. Don't worry. No one listens to this.
So I've listened to this.
9 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But we get to see Fatty the cat.
We do get to see Fatty. They're so Fatty. Sweet, the two of them.
No.
Fatty's little spoon.
Fatty. He's probably dead too.
Mm-hmm.
But, so Miranda thinks she has a ghost, and then the place is empty upstairs.
Yeah, big reveal.
And they're all talking about it at breakfast, lunch, or dinner, whatever it is.
It's probably breakfast that probably moved into lunch or brunch or some sort of area because everyone's always fucking late.
It's true.
Especially for brunch or breakfast.
I love brunch.
Yeah, brunch is like an interesting meal, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's good.
It's not quite breakfast. It's not quite lunch.
It's brunch.
But you get a slice of cantaloupe.
Wow, this podcast is moving along. All right, so Samantha, though, she knows exactly what to do with a ghost.
Yeah, of course she does.
You confront the ghost, you acknowledge its presence, you accept it, and then you release it.
Tell it to go.
That's it. Everybody
knows
that.
Apparently everyone knows that, yeah.
I mean, I knew that. Miranda. Did you know that?
I don't know.
Do you get a lot of ghosts?
Does a poltergeist qualify as a ghost?
I would think so. That's it's
not,
a form.
They're not very successful with that simple format in any kind of poltergeist situation.
Well, the only poltergeist I've seen is like in the movies.
Geist probably actually means ghost or something.
Probably does.
Yeah.
Probably.
Spirit. Zeitgeist. Yeah. I don't know. Sure. I know things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving along. All right. So Carrie has been thinking about Aiden again and thinks that maybe she still has feelings.
She's not sure, but then she kind of fesses up to it, right?
Yeah. Because like Aiden has kind of come back into her life with this invitation because she thinks that Aiden is inviting her to the bar opening.
Yeah. Well, she assumes.
Right.
Yeah. Selfish. Self-involved.
Well, because she got sent an invitation.
She did, yeah. Whose names are on it? Names?
Steve. Yeah. And Aiden.
And Aiden, yeah.
But she dated Aiden, so she
would... did, yeah. And what did she do to him?
Yeah, but that's why they were like, okay, this is Aiden's way of saying,
so
like,
she just did nothing. She, like, made no amends whatsoever. Just time passed. And he's like, you know what? It's great. Let's all be pals.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that not happen?
Maybe.
I mean,
But after something like that, like you cheat on someone with their ex, you know, no moral high ground here, but like cheat on someone with your ex and then like just after like a couple months, that's cool.
I mean, yeah, I think if we're going to get real, I think
it's got to be an amends made there.
I don't think so.
It's got to be some sort of mea culpa.
I've been in past relationships and I never got an apology or anything, but I forgave them and I let it go. And if I saw them today, I'd be like, what's up?
Yeah, but you're not going to send them like an invite to a business you're opening.
Maybe.
Okay. I'm wrong.
Yeah. I'm still friendly with them.
So, right, well, good for you. You're a bigger person than I am. I'm petty. I got to hold my grudges. I got not a lot else.
I'm just saying it's more for you.
Yeah, it's, oh, like, it's 100% for you, but yeah. I'm just saying that it didn't really, like, it wouldn't be the jump off for me. Like, her first thought is, oh, Aiden's forgiven me. Like, that's pretty, like, wishful thinking.
I don't think that was her first thought was like, fuck, I'm not going to that.
Okay.
Yeah, that was her first thought. I think her friends were the one that were like, maybe he's forgiving you.
Oh, maybe, yeah. That was a great impersonation of the crew there.
Yeah, thanks. Working on it. All right, so Samantha and Maria have this lovely scene in the bathtub, which looks super, they look super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Too tiny of a bathtub. Samantha's probably a very tall woman.
Doesn't want to be there.
Doesn't want to be there. Just no. You can just feel the annoyance on her.
Ugh. It's just that stage in the relationship where you're like, you don't have the stones to end it, but everyone knows it's over.
Yeah.
And like, everyone's just in denial. You're just like, oh man, do I have to do this? Can they just like get the hint and just like disappear? Let's not even have the conversation.
No, I know. That doesn't happen. I mean, it kind of does now with ghosting and stuff like yeah. that.
But then you can always Casper.
What is that?
Casper is the friendly ghost who lets you know that he's leaving and why he's leaving. You haven't heard that one?
No.
Yeah, Casper is good.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I stepped up to the level of Casper at one stage and became part of the lexicon for me.
That's nice.
So I was like, thanks for Caspering. I was like, huh?
That's super nice that you're a Casper. You don't just...
Well, you know, yeah, I was a former ghost and then it came back and haunted me. So then, reformed ghost.
Reformed ghost, okay. Yeah.
Recovering ghost.
Recovering ghost.
Well, hi, I'm Nigel. Recovering ghost.
Well, I'm glad you're growing and learning and...
It's just the name of the game.
What have you learned?
What have I learned? I don't know if I've learned anything.
Okay, so let's see. Where are we at? Carrie.
End of the relationship. Maria.
Oh, yeah, Maria. Yeah. They bring up past number of past lovers.
Oh, Jesus.
And, of course, Samantha doesn't give her one. She just, like, avoids.
Well, why would you?
Yeah, I don't think that's a conversation that's always needed.
I think it's a fantastic way to end your relationship. Like, if you want to take no personal blame or you want to, like, get on a moral high ground or whatever, and you know your number's lower than theirs, like, and significantly lower, then you're just going to be like, well, how many people have you been with? And then you're going to fucking go at it and just go at it. And you will just, until you get that answer, you are not stopping. And then when you do, you've got the build up and it's like... Or just like, yeah, that's not the... it's over. It's done. It's toast.
It's just not needed.
They no longer have respect for you.
What?
What? Sorry, it's a personal experience.
Oh,
yeah, but yeah, no, that's not the, that's not the question that you want to ask if you want to make the relationship work.
I mean, I guess Maria was just curious.
Nah, she wasn't. She was being a bitch.
Hmm. Harsh.
Yeah, I mean harsh, but I think it's real.
Well, we finally, you know, we can talk about it. I mean, it obviously doesn't work out between them.
Yeah.
But I do like the last ditch effort. Oh, well, we got to talk about... we'll get to it. Hold on. Okay. So Charlotte wants to redecorate the apartment. She realized that Trey's apartment is just ugly as fuck.
Yeah.
Plaid.
Fucking duck decoys.
Yeah, it looks like a hunter's cabin or something.
Yeah.
No.
No.
No good.
Mothballs everywhere.
Charlotte's cream, like her pale.
Fucking beige. That's beige. Like the perfect color for Charlotte.
Yes.
You are beige.
Beige. Beige.
Yeah, so she wants to transform her environment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? She should. She's married to him.
Exactly.
Whatever happened in the past, they're together now and they're making a go of it. And she needs to exercise the spirit of the mother.
That's right. Themes are important. But yeah, so we do have this really interesting scene where Charlotte stands up for herself.
Good honor.
We have this like weird, and I just like kind of imagine what this was like filming for Kyle MacLachlan. Like, she's like had to lay there while like Bunny and Charlotte were just like rubbing so Vicks all over him.
I was thinking like, because I haven't, it's been a while. I don't know if I've ever seen that one, but I think I have. And it's been a while since I have. And I'm like, I was like, in my head, I was like, it'd be hilarious if you got wood. Like, it's just like so wrong. And it would like perfectly play into that whole Freudian confusion of the mother.
Yeah, well, they were like slapping his chest.
Oh, yeah,
like,
they were getting after it. Just rubbing away. And Charlotte was rubbing lower.
Not on his tummy, Charlotte.
Yeah. So she's not very good at the Vicks application. Didn't have the old YouTube.
But even though, Charlotte does stick up for herself, Bunny does kind of come back at her with a pretty good point that even though Charlotte now is the lady of the house,
sure,
Bunny will always be in that house.
Yeah.
No matter what. And she never left. With her whole like decoys may come and go.
Yeah.
But I'll be here forever.
That's a good dig by Bunny.
Yeah.
You know, like it's good and bad. Like she should step the fuck off for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fair point, you know, like you have to realize that you're going to reap what you sow to some degree. And, you know, like it doesn't just go away because you've kind of made it amends. It's like that scar is still there and it's always going to be there. I like that. That was a good part.
Yeah.
Good point.
So Carrie goes to the bar scout to bring Aiden a mulberry bush. Because the bar is on Mulberry Street.
Yeah. I had a question about that. And you're like, just watch.
Just watch. And
it's very sweet.
Like, it's very sweet, but, like, a little too much, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's unnecessary. Self-indulgent, but that's scary.
That's scary.
Yeah.
And then we find out that Aiden didn't invite her.
No.
Steve did.
Mm-hmm.
Because Steve wanted her to bring Miranda.
Yeah. Thought it'd be easier for Miranda. And then, you know, what's Steve's game there, you know?
Well, it's really interesting.
Just pure gratitude, or does he want to get back with her, or,
well,
you know, at the time?
I mean, I think he always will love, like, always, he just has always loved Miranda.
Yeah.
It's just the timing, you know, timing of it.
Mm.
So, yeah, he's still in love with Miranda.
Think so?
Yeah. I think he's always in love with Miranda.
For some reason.
She's great.
Is she?
Miranda's great.
Okay.
And then, yeah, so Carrie, like, dramatically runs out of the bar because she finds out he did invite her, and then he...
OMG.
Yeah, she hears Aiden, like, "Hey, Steve!" You know, off camera. Ridiculous.
"Hey, Steve, get in here."
"Hey, Steve, I didn't know." Like, God. So stupid.
Yeah. Yep.
So Miranda and Carrie, Miranda is still haunted by this stupid ghost. So she's like, "Carrie, come over."
Yeah, there's very little development of that ghost, is there? Like, it's like clearly like pipes or something that we're hearing. Like, it's not, there's no great fucking mystery.
Right.
Yeah, it's like very thin.
Pretty pipes.
It's very thin.
But
she's like, "Come over."
And she brings over Oreos.
Which is very sweet.
Yeah, sweet.
And they have milk and Oreos in the bed.
But they talk about, because Carrie asked Miranda, "Well, do you think you might still have feelings for Steve?"
Yeah.
Miranda's like, no. But I'm like, you do though.
Yeah, but Miranda's whole deal is like massive denial.
Yeah.
Just complete suppression of anything resembling emotion and truth.
Yeah.
She couldn't handle that right there.
No.
She wouldn't be able to say what Carrie then says and like unpack it and be like, "Fuck, actually, yeah. Yeah, no, that's actually how I feel."
Right.
Yeah. She's like, no, because he's moved on and whatever, and I'm fine.
I'm fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
But yeah, she feels like she's just like in a rut. Mm. She just feels like she's kind of, everybody else is kind of moving on and she just stayed in the same place.
Yeah. part of that, like, she's not wrong, but the other part is that, like, she's consistent. Like, she's a lawyer. Like, that's what you do. Like, if you stay with a firm for a long time, you come up, and I don't know if she's partner at that stage, but she becomes partner at one point.
I think she's a partner at this point.
Yeah, so it's like, it's fucking grind time. Like, you just, like, it's a really hard job. You put a lot of hours into it, and, like, you can't be floating around and do a ton of, like, mental stuff because you don't have the energy for it. You don't have the space for it in your life.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. And then, like, Carrie obviously realizes, she's like, I don't know if I still have feelings. I think I might. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. And then she's like, yeah, we know what you mean.
Let's see. Oh, yeah. Sean Sullivan shows up at Sam's apartment.
Good old Shawnee Sullivan.
Sean Sullivan. Maybe you, maybe I can come in and you guys.
Probably, he's probably dead.
No. Sorry. No, Sean Sullivan is still alive.
Alive and well. Sean Sullivan, if you're out there and you're listening, love you, man. Get in touch.
But I do love his line, like, well, maybe I can come in and you guys can make me a sandwich.
Make me a sandwich. It's so good.
Maybe it's good. Maria's like, oh, Samantha's like, no, not a good time.
Yeah, you can tell she wants to make him a sandwich, though.
Yeah, no, she was interested, yeah, definitely.
She definitely, yeah.
But yeah, but Maria shut that down.
Yeah, she's like, I don't want to. She's like, you're going to have an open face sandwich if there's going to be a sandwich. I'm out of here.
She didn't say that, guys. you can't well, add
she was
to the
she was communicating. I didn't say she said, I said she was like.
Yeah.
Like a simile.
I get it. But then she busts up some plates.
She does bust off some plates, yeah. That's a strong move.
I like it.
Yeah, it's not that I haven't done that before, but...
That many plates?
Things got smashed.
Why did you smash plates?
Because I'm a passionate man, and I wasn't getting what I wanted, and I'm a three-year-old,
yeah,
at best.
There's other
in a lot of scenarios.
Names for that other than passionate.
Yeah, I was having a temper tantrum, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Among other things, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, bing.
Yeah.
You want a little firework? Bing.
Yeah, it was a nice little bit of comic relief in what's an incredibly fucking insane and unhealthy behavior.
Yeah. Maria's great. Love Maria. So they don't talk for 2 days, and I do feel like it was sweet of Maria to try to salvage it by giving her a lovely strap-on. But they end up breaking up.
They do end up breaking up.
But not before trying it out.
Not before trying it out. In fairness to them, each took a turn.
Did they?
They did. Yeah,
is that
she
what
said
she said?
Yeah,
okay.
She said, I fucked her, and then she fucked me.
Oh, right.
And that's what she threw her back at.
Hmm.
Then I think she said something about she didn't realize how much work guys do. Thank you.
Anyway, moving on. let's see. Yeah, so here we are at the big, like, final scene.
Bum, bum, bum.
The bar opening. Mm-hmm. Charlotte's not there for some reason.
Why would she be?
Why not, though?
She's off doing things that people...
Like married people do?
Yeah, or like, you know, she's looking after... Trey was sick and then he got better and...
Yeah.
She's like redecorating. She also wasn't invited. I don't know if that has any relevance.
Was she not invited?
No, she didn't get an invite.
Oh, she could have came.
Samantha didn't get an invite either. She just fucking.
No, well, there were two invitations, and you can bring a plus one.
Oh, is that what it
was? So four people could have came.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. You always get a plus one.
Yeah, maybe Charlotte's codependent. Maybe that's it. Couldn't leave him. She's afraid mom would fucking slip under the covers while she wasn't around.
So Carrie's like, where, you know, they're like, where's Aiden? Like, because she wants to look good for her big moment in talking to Aiden.
Yeah.
And then there's making
it about herself.
Right. Well,
even though it's Miranda, it's Miranda's fucking deal.
That's true.
Yeah. Good friendship.
So the big moment, though, and I love how they choreographed it because it was just like, you know, Carrie's like searching for him. The crowd like opens up for a second. Like, he does this like
the
head nod thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she smiles, and then it goes back. Mm-hmm. Like, the crowd just filled back in. It's so perfect. Like, it's
great. That's real. That's like, that was very generous of Aiden.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Yes.
He could have been like, get the fuck out of my bar. Don't ever come anywhere near my bar, me, my dog, my truck, anything.
He could have, but yeah. He smiled and was very polite. And she was like, that's
what a gent. And that's classic Aiden, you know, just fucking massive heart. And, you know, just doing the right thing in spite of himself.
But she wasn't satisfied with that.
No, of course not.
Which I guess, like, she must have sought him out on that back, at the back door. Because she must have realized, like, okay, he's not anywhere in the bar. She probably went outside to check. Because why would she go out there with a piece of cake? She's not smoking right now.
No, but she has a cigarette in her hand.
Does she?
Yeah, she has a cigarette in her hand. She's going to have her smoke.
I thought it was she just had a cake and a drink.
No, it's not lit. She had cake and drink in one hand, smoke in the other, and then like all sorts of stuff happens. She never gets the cigarette lit in that
scene. Okay, so she went out to smoke.
She went out to smoke.
And he was out there smoking.
Allegedly, yeah, smoking a cigar.
Yeah.
She's like, you're not really smoking that, are you? And
then because Steve he had such a big deal with smoke, with her smoking when they first dated. But I really love this.
Cigars are different, though. I'm just going to go on the record here for anyone who's having this kind of disagreement in a relationship. Cigars, as a cigar smoker and a former cigarette smoker, three packs of Cowboy Killers a day at one point, cigars are different. They're not as addictive. It's all about the psychological thing anyway. You don't inhale. Changes.
Go on.
The rhythm. No, it just changes the rhythm of your day when you have a cigar. And the whole point of doing it is it's like a ritualistic, calming, reflective, contemplative activity, you know, and you have great conversations. I've had some phenomenal conversations, some of the best conversations of my life with people over a cigar and just, you know, relaxed. Whereas a cigarette's like very addict-like in its interaction with you and your system and your energy levels, and the nicotine gets in quick and leaves quick.
Well, thank you for the insight into cigar smoking.
You can edit that bit out, don't worry.
No, I know, it's staying in. We don't really edit anymore.
Okay.
We're past that, yeah. But what I like about this scene, though, is like this is a pure example of people are having a conversation and what they're saying doesn't matter. It's all behavior.
All behavior.
It's all behavior. It's like, so here are the lines, really. It's like, that's my cake. And he's like, oh, now you want the cake. I never not wanted it.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it's like silence. Then it's like, you cut your hair. You have frosting on your lip. And then Steve comes out.
Yeah, it does.
Like, hey, it's
smoking
time for your
Robusto.
Yeah, it's time for your speech.
Smoking She's, indoors still. That was so like, and
oh yeah, you
two
can
different
still do
scenes
that.
In this. Yeah, in two different scenes in this episode, they're still smoking indoors.
Yeah.
So this must be like late '90s.
Oh, this we're like at 2000, 2001.
That's right around when they brought it in. Yeah, yeah. Because Ireland followed suit quickly behind New York.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting. Clothes stank a lot less. But it changed the whole dynamic. Like, the dynamic of a night out became very different. The smoking area is, like, a great spot to, like, because you can actually fucking hear each other if you're out in somewhere where the music is loud and, like, it created this whole separate subculture almost outside, even though smokers were always, you know, like, different. Because there's certain places that you could always smoke at when you were out. So it didn't matter. Like, it was just fucking people smoking all around you. It's not a big deal. But it like segregated everyone. So it was very interesting to see those different groups like emerge and how they interacted together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wild.
Yeah. And so the last lines were, I thought you were the silent partner. And then he just says, glad you came?
Something like that.
Like, glad you came.
Say bye.
Good to see you, Carrie. Good to see you, too. So it's just like nothing was really said.
But there was a lot said.
But a lot said, yeah.
Not much was spoken, but a lot was said.
Yeah, it's just good. I thought it was a really good
That was actually probably, acting. That was some of the best acting in that whole show. I think, that particular scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fantastic, both of them. Yeah, there was so much behind every little action.
Mm-hmm.
Well done, kids.
Well done. All right, and then, oh yeah, Bunny walks in on Charlotte and Trey doing it.
Yeah, and Bunny.
She's just befuddled with, oh, my muffins. Oh no.
They sexercised the ghost of Bunny.
Yes, they did. They sexercised.
Yeah. Charlotte's muffins sent her running with her muffins.
All right.
Yeah. So that was a good scene because, you know, you see Trey coming from, he has this sickness and this illness, right? And within that, they regress into that sickness and illness of the, like, Freudian mother-son, you know, the maternal
mm-hmm.
relationship. Where she has way too much import in their life and in Trey's life especially. And then as he recovers after Charlotte stands up, it gets healthier. You know, she stands up to the ghost and, like, you know.
Yeah.
So that was nice. That was nice working in there. And it was always good to get a little bit of skin in there too.
I mean, it's Sex in the City.
It's Sex in the City. Where's, you got to have sex as well as the city.
Hey, everyone. There's more Cosmos on the way. But first, a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
All right, let's get into some segments.
Boom, boom, boom.
All right, first up is Hottie of the Week. Hottie of the Week.
Ooh.
So our choices are, because it's not one of the four main girls.
Okay.
We have Sean Sullivan.
Is there a male and female category or is it just man?
Well, since Maria is dating Samantha right now, we have to put Maria in it.
All right.
We have Maria. We have Steve. We have Aiden. Anyone else you'd like to put in there? It can be a girl or a guy.
Sean Sullivan.
Yeah, we got him.
Oh.
He's first one.
I thought you said Maria, Steve, Aiden.
No, Sean Sullivan.
Oh,
Maria, Steve, Aiden.
I guess I wasn't paying attention. Sorry,
that's okay.
Bubbles.
Yeah, no worries.
Who else is in there? What's her face?
What's her face?
Jessica.
All right, because you're a guy, we'll put that in there. Jessica.
I mean.
All right, so who's your hottie of the week?
Hottie of the week.
I'm going to have to go with Aiden and his new haircut.
Ooh, yeah, he got that new haircut.
Break me off a piece of that, man.
He does.
Because they're in the bar and it's fucking mahogany wood and, like,
it's Aiden
everything
everywhere.
Is handcrafted. Aiden just exploding all over the place.
I'm going to agree with you. Mm. Aiden looks good.
He looks good. Yeah.
The tummy is gone. Mm-hmm. The long hair is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much excessive jewelry.
No. He has streamlined his existence.
Yes.
And it is working for him.
That's what I was going to say.
He is going high speed, low drag. Let's do this.
All right. So hottie of the week is Aiden Shaw.
Nice.
All right. Next up. I don't know if you noticed any of it, but.
Probably not.
The next segment is who wore what, why.
Oh, Jesus.
What? Why? So any fashion stick out for you? Anything you noticed?
I liked a couple of Bunny's ensembles.
Oh, yeah.
Very matchy-matchy, monochromatic.
With her bows?
With
her
bows. And for me, again, probably overreading it into this, but, you know, tying into the psychology of the episode where it's this regressive, childlike, unhealthy relationship. And, like, lack of personal development, just kind of being physically represented in her clothing and her attire. I thought that was excellent. So I'm going to give a shout out to Bunny for.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I didn't notice too much, but I really liked Charlotte's, like, pink, like, nighty slip thing that she wore. It was, like, a nice color. And she just always has, like, the best sleepwear. She just always looks so.
Yeah.
Like, dressy to go to sleep.
Yeah, she's very elegant in her bed attire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
She's a very elegant woman in general, though.
She really is. Yeah. Even in real life.
Yeah.
She's just so freaking gorgeous.
She's spot on for that role because there's a classy element to her that is just, you can't teach.
Yeah. She's great. All right. Next up is pun of the week. Pun of the week. Any puns stick out for you?
Not specifically.
Let's see.
I mean, I don't know. The cake thing doesn't really count, does it? That's not really a pun. No.
That's more clever.
Yeah, it's just clever wordplay.
I feel like...
Is there always a pun in every episode? Do you ever, like, come up
I mean, punless? Sometimes there was something.
There was a thing.
There was something that was very, like, blatant.
Was it something to do with Samantha and her relationship?
Possibly. I should have probably circled it.
Yeah.
But I didn't. Didn't do that.
Sometimes it happens.
Sorry about that, pun of the week. I should probably just look up what a pun is at some point. People tell me. It just kind of comes in one ear.
You know what a pun is.
Yeah, I know what a pun is, but I'm just not very good at catching them.
Yeah, I mean, it might not have been in that episode, but the other thing is then maybe you should have taken better notes, you know?
Anyway.
Personal accountability here, Bubbles.
Let's be nice to the host, okay? All right, last but not least, we have You're Such A. You're Such A. So now you get to decide which one of the four main characters did you most identify with in this episode.
Oh, fuck. You're such a...
No,
I'm
you.
Such a... I'm such a Samantha.
Why?
Because I've been on the wrong end of that numbers conversation. And I've also been, you know, like, I've had people smash my shit in front of me. I've had, you know, like, I've been on both sides of that equation. And just the dysfunction romantically really kind of...
Yeah, all this makes
true.
Sense.
Thanks. But I'm recovering from all that.
But you most identify with Samantha in this episode.
Yeah, in this episode for sure. I like little bits of all of them, but overall, Samantha. So like, I do that Carrie shit all the time, too, of like making every scenario about me, like just there.
Yeah.
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 I'm pretty good at that.
So you could be a hybrid.
Like a chimera. It's like lion head, dragon body type deal. Yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm. But we'll go with Samantha. I like that.
All right.
So you're such a Samantha.
What about you?
Ooh, I think in this episode, I'm a Carrie.
Say that so.
I just like, I've definitely been there where it's like, oh, I'm going to go to this function where my ex is going to be there. And like, I haven't seen him in a while. I don't know how I'm going to act or what's going to happen. Like, but I know I want to look good and like see him and probably still care about him, but we'll see. And yeah.
Make sure they know how well you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it never works out great. But yeah, it's definitely Carrie in this episode.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good episode because certain elements of pretty much everyone you can really identify with. You're like, oh yeah, I've been there. I know that one.
Well, that's why this show is just great in general, right? Because everybody kind of sees a little bit of themselves in every single main character.
Yeah.
So, well, you know what? We did it!
Whoa!
It's over!
Finito.
So good.
Good job, us.
All right. Well, cheers, guys. Bye.
Make good choices.
Make good choices. Bye. Well, that's the episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I also want to thank a few people that make the show possible. John Fredette for the music. You can check him out at johnfredette.com. Our wonderful guest, Nigel J. Lysett. Terrence Deutsch, our producer, and everyone over at Boardwalk Audio.
Again, if you like what you hear and want to show us some love, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook, both at Cosmos and the City, or on Twitter at CATC Podcast. If you haven't done so already, please like, rate, and subscribe. It really allows our podcast to grow. And if you have any thoughts, opinions, ideas, etc., you can email us at cosmosandthecity@gmail.com. All right, we'd love to hear from all of you. We'll catch you next week. Cheers!
And a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit BoardwalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.